James Foley's kidnapping was not an isolated case. There have been numerous cases in recent years of American journalists being held captive by militants. Investigative reporter David Rode experienced that in Afghanistan. He was kidnapped by the Taliban in 2008 and held captive for 7 months before he managed to escape. Rode is with Reuters now, but at the time he was a New York Times correspondent. He says his kidnapping, like Foley's in Syria, was subject to a media blackout demanded by the captors and agreed to by family members back in the U.S.
Families do that because they don't want to get their relative killed. The problem with the blackouts is that it keeps everything in the shadows, and it doesn't hold, I think, governments accountable for, you know, what's happening. The payments by European governments for their hostages are being kept secret, and then the American government, I think, faces very little pressure. And I think there should be a debate about what governments should do in these cases.
So kind of bring that ransom issue up for us back into the open. I mean, what can you tell us about what happens behind the scenes? Ransoms, I mean, the Europeans do pay them out. Americans don't pay ransoms. What is the reasoning and what does happen?
Well, there's a very different political calculus. I think, you know, the public in European countries expect the governments to do something to help captives. That's not really as true, I think, in an American and a British political context. There was an excellent story in the New York Times last month that found that Al-Qaeda affiliates have been paid at least $125 million in revenue from kidnapping since 2008. And last year alone, they received $66 million. Much of that is coming from Europe. Kidnapping is working. That needs to come out. That needs to be debated.
There's another American journalist, Stephen Sotloff, being held. Should his ransom be paid?
I don't know, you know, what the ransom is. The current practice is that if an American family or an organization can come up with some kind of ransom, the American government will turn a blind eye. The problem is when European governments are paying millions of dollars, that puts these families in an impossible situation. And the payment of these ransoms is these precedents for what a captor can receive. In 2003, according to this New York Times story, it was roughly $200,000 in ransom per hostage was being paid. Today, millions of dollars are being paid for individual captives. No family, no American family can come up with millions of dollars. So again, this lack of coordination between the U.S. and Europe leaves Jim Foley, Stephen Sotloff, and their families in these impossible situations.
Are there any cases where there are suggestions that the U.S. or the U.K. had been paying ransoms on the QT and we just don't know about it?
No. And I know even, you know, from my own abduction, I know that kidnappers don't believe this. They actually think the U.S. does secretly pay ransoms. It's been 5 years since. I've talked to many families that go through this. Other than the very well-publicized exchange of prisoners that occurred for Bo Bergdahl, an American soldier, there has not been a single case I've heard of the American government paying a ransom, and that really is the policy. That is really what happened in my case and what happened in Foley's case, and maybe that's what the policy should be, but American citizens shouldn't kid themselves to thinking that the government is going to secretly pay a ransom or help them if they get abducted. That's not going to happen.
David, where do you come down on the debate? What do you think the answer is?
I mean, it's an impossible question to answer. To me, and I'm biased because of my own experience, this is the most craven, cowardly crime. These are cowardly men. It's horrific what they did to Jim. I'm not sure, you know, I have the answer, but I just, you know, this is a spreading problem and a horrific problem.
Getting back to the war in Syria, now going into its fourth year, how have these kidnappings helped shift the narrative of the war there?
The kidnappings have, you know, stopped the narrative. There are no foreign journalists covering the conflict and the suffering of the Syrian people. I cover the war in Bosnia. The media can't change things as easily as I think many people think, but I think coverage of the suffering in Bosnia did increase awareness. That has not happened in Syria. It has not received, you know, the level of attention that you're seeing even in northern Iraq with the crisis there in the Yazidi community. Dramatic footage of people scrambling to get on those helicopters doesn't automatically lead to action by the government, but it does change the debate.
Journalist David Rode reports for Reuters. Thanks as always, David.
Thank you.